Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Snow on the way here to the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. At least it's falling on the weekend. Boy, we had that snow come in on Thursday, and that afternoon and evening commute was a nightmare. We've had cold weather. We've had a lot of ice, and Steve Carney joins us. Hopefully he's been out on the ice catching fish. Steve, how you been?
Been great, Steve. I'm glad I'm not dealing with bad traffic up here in Lakes Country. We don't have that problem up here.
No, it sounds like you got snow on the way, though, if it's not already snowing.
Yeah, it's been snowing for a couple of days up here, and boy, we need this bad. I mean, we have, you know, a few inches on the ground, but our lakes and our sloughs and everything are so dry and so low that, you know, I'm really hoping for a lot of snow. I'm probably the only guy in Minnesota that's hoping for more snow, but, you know, we're getting around just fine. The ice is changing a little bit. You know, we still have maybe 14 inches of ice throughout northern Minnesota, northwestern Minnesota, but we're starting to see things change. There's starting to be cracks and heaves that are starting to happen, and this has been going on because we're getting this roller coaster temperature. You know, it's like warm for 2 days, and then it's super cold, and then it's warm, and that really makes the ice contract and expand. And so it's just kind of a heads up out there that, you know, just because it was, you know, okay to travel last week, sometimes these things change overnight. One of the lakes I was on today, there was nothing, no problems at all a couple days ago. And this morning there were heaves by the access, and these things can happen overnight. And that's what happens when you have these roller coaster temperatures. So just be careful out there. There people are driving vehicles a lot now on the lakes, and I really never recommend driving a vehicle on the ice ever, but, you know, there's people doing it. So I'm sticking to the snowmobile and the ATV, and, you know, getting around on that is just fine. And looks like we've got, you know, more snow coming, 2 to 4 up here, which is fine. The more snow, the better.
Yeah, we certainly do need it. A lot of areas of the state still in drought. Steve, you brought something up on the show a week ago, and I want to talk more about that. When you're out on the ice, particularly bigger bodies of water, and you're going to be out there after dark, taking advantage of plotters and GPS is huge.
Yeah, you know, I've been using that for years. I just take the chart plotter off my boat and then put it on my ATV and snowmobile and plug in the 12-volt cable, and you have great capabilities for getting to spots, you know, or open water spots. But, you know, the main thing is to have that trail feature. And you have a red line that follows your GPS path out to where you're going. And then, you know, when you're ready to come back, you can follow that exact trail back. And right now, at this time of the year, it's really critical because there's so little snow cover and there's no plowed roads. So you're kind of on your own and you're, you know, freewheeling across glare ice, basically. And, you know, you can get very disoriented. And, you know, when you have travel pass that are plowed, you can find those trails, but they don't have that this year. We don't have the snow. So it's really critical that you're able to get back on the same exact trail, especially after dark. It's really spooky after dark when there's no snow cover and glare ice. I mean, it's very easy to get lost and turned around, but just take that chart plotter off your boat and, you know, mount it to your four-wheeler, your snowmobile. I even use it in my vehicle when I rarely drive on the ice. You can just plug it into your dash, and, you know, it's awesome. I mean, I wouldn't go out without it. So, you know, a lot of people know, you know, have them on their boats and think, well, what, you know, why don't I put it in my ATV or my snowmobile or my vehicle? I mean, you already have the unit. You might as well put it to good use.
Yeah, that ice fishing season is relatively short, and especially in recent years with ice conditions, etc. We know how good the early bite is. Now we get into the middle of January, head toward the end of January. In your experience, do things get more challenging, and if so, why?
Well, things change, you know, Steve. The water temperatures change, air temperatures change, the water just, you know, these fish adapt to whatever Mother Nature throws at them. I've been still on this shallow pattern. I don't know why this hasn't changed, but this morning I was in 5 feet of water over some green weeds, and we did really well this morning, and these fish are still super shallow.
Wow.
And we had a little more traffic this morning. There were a few more people out today. It was a good Saturday. It was a nice day. And so the bite wasn't as good as it has been because there was activity and noise. And, you know, when you're in 5 feet of water, you've got to be super quiet. And, I mean, you can't even move your feet. I mean, they just spook so easily. But, you know, we're getting sunlight penetration through the ice right now, and the weeds are actually growing underneath the ice. There's light penetration. There's green weeds, there's oxygen, and that's why these fish are feeding in shallow water. And if we should happen to get a really big dump of snow, 6, 7, 8, 10 inches, that'll retard that light penetration, and then they're going to move. But, you know, it's hard to say. A lot of my buddies are getting fish in 20 and 30 feet of water right now, too. So the one thing about this time of the year is there's populations of crappies and walleyes that are doing completely different things. Some are out in deep water in deep basins with muddy bottoms, and they're feeding on insects, and they're in deep water. And then there's these other fish that I've been catching in super shallow water, and there's different populations doing different things. They don't always do the same thing. There's weed fish, there's sand fish, there's deep fish, there's shallow fish, and they're just variations depending on the lake that you're on. So that's the fun part of fishing. It's really more like hunting than fishing, trying to find out, you know, what their pattern is.
Well, Steve, always good to visit with you. Where are you going to be, local lakes, in the coming week?
Yeah, I'm going to keep at it, Steve. It's I see this snow coming in a couple of rough days cold-wise, but then I see this warm front coming in at the end of the week, and that's going to kickstart the bite even better. So going to stay at it, keep going, and keep going while it's still happening.
Yeah, it could be a huge weekend out there if we do get them. You know, we have the decent ice, we get some snow out there, and then we get a little warm-up. Oh, it could be a lot of folks out and about by next weekend. We'll see about that, and we'll visit with you in 1 week.
All right, sounds great, Steve. Take care, man.
There he is, Steve Kearney, and stevekearneyoutdoors.com. And by the way, our outdoors coverage continues tomorrow with Rob Dreeslein in the Outdoor News. He's on the air Sundays between 5 and 6. A lot of great guests and tremendous information on that hour-long show. Once again, Rob Dreeslein in the Outdoor News, Sundays between 5 and 6 here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Wild card weekend in the NFL. Steve Thompson and Lindsey Brown, our producer, we'll keep an eye on those games, talk about the games tomorrow, and of course Monday in Arizona, Vikes and Rams. Early game today, Chargers Texans from Houston, early in the second. Chargers 2 field goals on the board, and they lead it 6-0. The Wild, they're in action. They'll be in San Jose tonight, and then Las Vegas tomorrow night, short two-game road trip. And Jess Myers joins us from the Pioneer Press. Jess, good to visit with you.
Good to talk to you, Steve. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Wild, the clunker at home. Colorado Avalanche rolls 6-1 on Thursday night. And there will be those over 82 games. Jess?
Can you hear me, Steve?
Yep.
Okay, sorry. You said there'll be those kind of...
Yeah, there'll be days like that.
Yes. What was interesting is nobody's pushing the panic button here. You know, they're down several key players. I mean, it seems like the injury report is longer than one of those receipts you get at the drugstore sometimes. You know, losing Brock Faber most recently, he did not make this trip. Neither did Jonas Brodin. Neither did Kirill Kaprizov, although we did get some optimistic signs that Kaprizov is skating a little bit on his own now. So maybe the first step toward him coming back. But the thing we heard from John Hines after that game pointed out that going into the third, it was 3-1. At 2-1 in the second period, they had lots of chances to tie and, you know, really didn't get any puck luck. And if you look at the statistics, you know, some of those websites that crunch the numbers, they said the Wild really deserved to win that game, as shorthanded as they were and as lopsided as the final score turned out to be. So once again, we're seeing kind of just this calm demeanor on the side of the Wild. Yeah, the injuries have been just ridiculous. In fact, the other night, not only are several key players hurt, but Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't even on the bench for part of the game because he was fighting an illness too. So you potentially would have been down to one goalie. And in a lopsided game like that, you might have seen him make a goalie change in the middle of the game. He just couldn't do it because he didn't have any options there. So this is just kind of the situation they're in right now. Nobody's panicking. They're just saying, hey, this is where we are. We'll roll with it.
And it seems as though you and I, when we visit, and by the way, Jez Flyers joins us from the Pioneer Press on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Injuries, injuries, injuries. Is there any good news on the injury front at the moment?
Well, the best news we've gotten this month is, as bad as that injury to Jared Spurgeon looked, it wasn't something that's going to require surgery. So we're hopeful that we may see Jared Spurgeon back yet this month. They talked about it being a matter of weeks. Same thing with Jonas Brodin. He blocked a shot late in that win over St. Louis, that crazy back-and-forth win over St. Louis. He took a shot off the foot. He's probably just sore from that. Again, not something that's going to require a cast or surgery or anything like that. And you can see the thinking of leaving those guys home, knowing that, you know, do you want to fly them all the way to the West Coast thinking they could play, maybe they won't play, we don't know. The smarter play is just to leave them home, let them get a couple extra days rest. They have Monday and Tuesday off as well, and then they don't play again until Wednesday when Edmonton comes to town. So a good opportunity to rest some of those guys, you know, maybe take some lumps on this road trip. But talking to the Wild players, to a man, they all say, you know, we play our best hockey on the road. So they're nobody's scared of long road trips on this roster.
Yeah, and with San Jose tonight, certainly an opportunity.
Absolutely. You know, the Sharks are improving, and that's what happens when you get a first-round draft pick like Macklin Celebrini, and you get him into the NHL, and you know, start showing him the ways of this league. They are, maybe more of a pushover early in the season when the Wild played them the first time, won 5-2 when they met in November out in San Jose. This will be their second meeting, and then, of course, the Sharks will have to come to St. Paul at some point. I believe that's in March. I don't have the schedule in front of me. But so you're going to see some of San Jose, but that's the game where you're thinking, if you're going to get 2 points on this road trip, that's the, I won't say a sure thing, but that's a better bet, let's just say. I'm in Las Vegas, so everything's gambling right now. So, yeah, let's just say that's a better bet if you're looking for 2 points on this road trip. Then they've got to come here to Vegas tomorrow night, much tougher game. And let's face it, it's going to be an emotional game for a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury, who played for the Golden Knights. He was one of the original Golden Knights who would kind of backstop them to that first run they made to the Stanley Cup Final. So you're looking at a fun night for him, but probably an emotional night as well.
Yeah, it was extraordinary, and I know we have talked about this, and it still is one of the great stories, I think, in modern NHL history, on how that team was born, and they paid a lot of money, and they were able to cherry-pick from every NHL roster, but did a beautiful job of building a competitive club, and they have been able to maintain that, and it has been wildly successful. I know our producer, Lindsey Brown, spent time in Vegas covering the Golden Knights. It is a great success story for this league.
Here's what amazes me, Steve. I started coming to Las Vegas in 1990, and I didn't really spend any time here, but I was always changed planes here on the way to Tucson to see my grandparents when they would spend winters in Arizona. So you'd fly into Vegas, you'd spend a couple hours at the airport, you'd play some slot machines. In 1990, Las Vegas had something like 250,000 residents, okay? A good medium-sized regional city. 10 years later, it was literally double that size. You know, this is a major American city now, and it's growing even today just exponentially. And what's really cool, I think, about the Vegas Golden Knights was they were the first professional team in any of the big sports that said, you know what, Vegas is our home. It wasn't something that moved from somewhere else. It wasn't, you know, a minor league team or, a college team. You know, UNLV was big here, especially in the 80s. That was a huge thing. But the Golden Knights and a hockey team here in the desert of all places was the first time that people in Nevada said, we've got our own team. And lo and behold, they go to the Stanley Cup final in their first year. I mean, you couldn't have dreamed up an area like that.
Yeah, and the Fleury pick, when they made that in that expansion draft, it says they intend to win right away. You wouldn't take a veteran goaltender if you didn't think about winning, because the thought was, all right, they're just going to get a bunch of kids and they're going to struggle for the first few years. They were good out of the gate.
And not only a veteran goaltender, but keep in mind, he had won a Stanley Cup, I think, the previous year. And the Pittsburgh Penguins, for whatever reason, said, you know what, it's time for us to make a change. Time for us to go with Matt Murray as our goalie, which, you know, hasn't worked out maybe as well as they thought it would have. So he was kind of jettisoned, and he had to go through some maneuvers and waive a no-trade clause and all of that to be part of the expansion draft, knowing that Vegas was probably going to pick him up as kind of a veteran force. And it's hard to argue with the results with what he did in Vegas and what they've done since then, winning a Stanley Cup.
All right, so it'll be the Wild and Sharks tonight, and then the Wild and the Golden Knights from Vegas tomorrow night before they return to home ice next week. Jess, Golden Gopher men, they got thumped by Ohio State Friday night.
You know, if there's a surprise team in the Big Ten and in college hockey this year, Ohio State was a team that nobody really thought much of. Well, they went into the transfer portal like everybody can do now. They went and got some real established, experienced goal scorers. They're getting great goaltending, and they play good at home like you should. And talking to Bob Mosco this week, he said, you know, what do you expect from Ohio State? They weren't taking him lightly, and yet they go out last night. Ohio State wins 5-1. I believe it was 4-0 or 5-0 at one point. And Bob Mosco said it was maybe the worst performance he has seen by one of his teams in the 7 years he has coached Gopher hockey. So as much as I love going on the road and covering the Gophers, that wouldn't have been a real fun locker room to walk into last night, because that's about as rock bottom as you can get for this Gopher team, and you wonder how they're going to bounce back tonight with the second of two in Columbus.
Yeah, just get the split and get out of town, I think, is all you can look for.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and it's a team with a ton of talent, and they're finally healthy again. Mosco was saying this week was the first time since October 31st that he had his full roster on the ice. It was a little more crowded there, but that was fine because they're so used to having to fill holes and patch up some things. So with their full roster together, obviously they expected to do a little better than that. And a real important potential bounce back for them tonight.
By the way, Golden Gopher women get the sweep of St. Thomas at Ritter. 4-2 Friday, 5-1 in the matinee today at one of the great rinks anywhere in the state of Minnesota. Ritter's a gem.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely perfect for that program. It'll host the Frozen Four, I think, coming up again this year. Just, when you talk about dedicating resources to women's sports, that's maybe the poster child of how to do it right.
All right, and I'm going to put out a pitch right now, and maybe we can rally on this for the next month or so. Bring back the State Fairgrounds Coliseum for section hockey. I've talked to a ton of people already this high school season that want to see section finals back at the Fairgrounds Coliseum.
It was a great kind of centrally located place. Obviously, tons of parking all the way around there. Kind of that weird setup because the surface was much bigger than the actual rink. You know, you have maybe 10 or 15 feet on all sides of the arena between the boards and the walls. You know, so kind of an odd shaped thing. But I see now they're putting indoor soccer in there. So maybe if somebody can pony up some money, put an ice plant back in there, I think that would be a fun idea. I remember Doug Woog telling me at one point before they built 3M Arena at Mariucci, there was actually a pitch to fix up the Fairgrounds Coliseum and make that kind of a real nice, fancy home year-round for Golden Gopher hockey, and then use it at the State Fair in the summer. You think of what might have been. That would have changed things, definitely.
Yeah, I've heard the State Fair Board has some money, but
I think they do okay at, what, $18 a head or something like that. When you hear those daily figures of, you know, $250,000 paying customers on a Wednesday in August when it's rainy. You know, I think they're probably doing okay.
Yeah, so if they wanted to put a rink back in there, they can afford it. Jess.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, enjoy Vegas. Look forward to your coverage once again. Wild in San Jose tonight. They'll be in Vegas tomorrow night. Jess will have it covered in the Pioneer Press and online at TwinCities.com. Have a good evening.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, there he is, Jess Myers, joining us here. News Talk 830 WCCO. We'll have an update on the weather. We'll actually do a deep dive on the weather when we come back. Get you up to date on the NFL and so much more. Steve Thompson, Lindsey Brown alongside here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It's funny how the NFL owns the sports landscape, because this weekend in January is wild card weekend. And then next weekend is divisional weekend. And then, of course, it's championship weekend. AFC and NFC champs will be crowned. And then we all hold our breath for 2 weeks for the Super Bowl in early February. You know, Lindsey, you've been around sports. It is extraordinary how huge the NFL is. It overshadows everything in sports. And there's no comparison.
Everything's a big deal, right? Every stat, every catch. It just feels like if you miss any sort of micro happening, that you're missing out, that you're out of the loop. And I don't know if that's a healthy place for us to be, because I think that's not just a football thing. I think just the way we consume news in general and just information. But they're dominating, and especially since the last couple weeks too, Steve, with college football playoff, that being on different days. I know that at this time of the year, they go into Saturdays. They're okay with scheduling game on Saturdays, but there's that inconsistency, and the same thing happens. The numbers are there. The viewers are there. And even when the game isn't the most exciting thing, which is, I think, what you could chalk up this Houston and Chargers matchup so far, Danielle Hunter looming large-ish. It makes me sad that he's not in the Vikings anymore.
Yeah. And the defense has really been the day. Two Charger field goals early, and they lead it 6-0 in quarter number two in Houston. So it has been a low-scoring affair to get started. And then an NFC North tilt. This will be rock'em sock'em old-school football. It'll be the Steelers and the Ravens from Baltimore on Amazon Prime.
That's tonight?
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah, that's a pretty good Saturday night slate. Bruises included. Will it be on Prime?
Yeah, it is on Prime tonight. That's it. So if you don't have Amazon Prime, find someone who does.
Yes.
Because that is the one game this weekend where you need. A year ago, I think they did Peacock, and everybody signed up for Peacock to watch the NFL game and then forgot about it and realized, wait, I've had Peacock for a year and I don't even use it.
Well, that's its lie, Steve, because everybody was all over it during the Olympics. They actually had a really good home for Olympic coverage this year. But other than that, nobody jumped on for the Gladiator series. What is it? We Are About to Die, We Salute You. I watched three episodes and I got bored.
Yeah. Well, and what's funny about it is I signed up for the football game a year ago on Peacock. I said, okay, you know, I'll see. And I think early in the year, I want to say February around Super Bowl time, they got people to hang on because they had Oppenheimer.
That's right. They got the early rights to it. And that's where they just keep you hanging on by a thread, Steve. Just keep it another week.
And then we did hang on to it in the household for the Olympics because it was handy. You're absolutely right.
It was great. But it was an amazing landing page. Like, I watched so much Olympic surfing. Would I have watched that if it was just like a normal NBC, TNT, TBS? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
No, and I really grew bored with the prepackaged, here's what you're going to get in prime time.
Mm-hmm.
I actually wanted to watch some of this stuff.
Live.
And I wanted to avoid breakdancing as much as I could. So you're right. Peacock came in handy. But tonight, Amazon Prime is the place for the football game, and then three tomorrow, and then, of course, Vikes and Rams on Monday night. And we'll talk more about it later in the show, the game in particular and how it might play out. But I summed it up with Shaletta. If you want a quick take, Darnold needs to be better. I don't know how much further you need to go than that. They had a chance in Detroit. Ultimately, the Lions pull away and win big. As I said to Shaletta earlier in the program, they play incredibly hard for Dan Campbell. Mm-hmm. Talk about a team that loves their coach and will go to war for him. That is the Detroit Lions. And that makes them very scary, even with all the injuries. And the Vikes still had their opportunities early in the game. Darnold just didn't make the throws, period.
And my question to you, Steve, when we audit the performance by Sam Darnold in that last week matchup with the Lions, do you feel that the Lions showed a little bit more of, if you rush him, just like most quarterbacks, the accuracy is going to go down? Do you feel like his tempo was thrown off or that he was just having one of those days that inaccuracy seemed to follow him every single series?
I think it was a combo platter. Number one, amped up. He knew personally that game meant to his career arc, that what he had done to that point this year had really elevated his status. Like, this guy might be deserving of huge guaranteed money. And I think he knew that going into the game. All eyes. It was the only game. It was mm-hmm. the final game of the regular season, and there was a ton on the line. Home field advantage, a division title, all of that stuff, plus what it meant to him personally in his career, and I think it got to him because the throws were there. I still go back to one throw early in the game. Justin Jefferson wide open in the far corner of the end zone, mm-hmm. no one within 5 yards of him. If you're an NFL quarterback, I think even if you're a D1 quarterback, you have to make that throw. And the fact that he airmailed him told me, oh, this could be a long night. And then TJ Hockenson over the middle for a 40-yard game. He was wide open and airmailed him. And it just wasn't his night. Now he's got that opportunity to come back Monday night against the Rams. And it starts to me. If Darnold's better, if Darnold's good, the Vikes have a chance. If you don't get good quarterback play, you can't win.
No, you're absolutely correct. And the Vikings have had almost every single moment in recent history besides Case Keenum and the Saints where the quarterbacks did not show up and play to their necessary ability. And maybe this is a question to kind of chew on for the listeners, and I know that they can text in and talk with us. Do not call us because the phone lines are being wonky today. But is Monday night's performance, which is chalking up to be just as watched, as big, as important to Sam Darnold, if he doesn't perform to the level that is expected, does that ruin the thought of him being a viable long-term option, a franchise option for the Minnesota Vikings as they have J.J. McCarthy on the mend and waiting in the wings?
Yeah, and the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line is open, and we do want your thoughts on that between now and the end of the show at 651-461-9226. I think it has to change the narrative, especially if he struggles again. Then it's kind of like, okay, you know, Darnold's on a one-year deal. He hasn't been extended. They haven't given him the big bucks, the guaranteed money. They have J.J. McCarthy. It has to. It has to in the most meaningful games if they struggle. And you got to give the Lions credit. They had a good game plan. And in fairness to Darnold, to a certain extent, the coaching staff didn't make adjustments either. They
don't want to show too much because they know that they're in the playoffs, and they know that in all likelihood, if plans proceed as aspired to be, that you'd probably be facing the Lions again at some point.
Yeah, for sure. And when we come back, we'll talk about the other games this weekend, including three big games tomorrow in the NFL. A little bit about the college football playoff. It'll be Ohio State and Notre Dame. And going into this year, it's kind of like, okay, we're going to get 12 teams in the playoffs. And it doesn't surprise me a bit that Ohio State is there because we knew how good they were. They stubbed their toe. They got beat at the shoe by Michigan. There was that ugly flag planting brawl after the game with the Wolverines. But Ohio State is a supremely talented team. Notre Dame, blue blood program, but I think they've kind of shocked the world and came out of nowhere to be there for the title. So we'll get into all of that in a moment here on a Saturday at News Talk 830-WCCO. Before the break, we talked about Sam Darnold, how big this game Monday night is for his career arc. Will he get the big guaranteed contract that a starting quarterback in the NFL should get. He was on that trajectory, the 9-game winning streak, the Vikings poised with a win in Detroit to have home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs, then the bad game. So it's imperative he comes back and has a good game, but I still think the narrative is, what do the Vikings do? They have J.J. McCarthy, but remember, he has not played a snap in an NFL game that counts yet. We have no idea if he can play. And that'll really be interesting. Now, if he comes back, has a good game, they win, they go into Detroit, they play in the divisional round, we see how it plays out. But another bad game, the Vikings would be hard-pressed to commit huge dollars to him going forward. It's a very interesting dynamic about what you do with Darnold, because I still think with the clunker in Detroit on Sunday Night Football to close out the regular season, he still has exceeded all expectations. Question is, you've got McCarthy, what do you do with Darnold in the offseason? And the game Monday night, and if they win beyond that, we'll go a long way. And from our text line, if you feel Sam Darnold screws up again, he should still be the franchise player you just talked about, but his salary goes down. Yeah, I don't know.
It's already pretty low. It's $10 million, I think, this year, isn't it? That's about as bargain as it gets.
Yeah, for a starting quarterback that's not on a rookie deal, that's really cheap by NFL standards.
I don't even know it's a starting deal number. That's a tryout to see if you can still kick a deal. That's right. Really what that is.
That is not Mahomes money.
No.
That is not Josh Allen money. That is not Lamar Jackson money. The list goes on and on. The whole Darnold thing is really interesting to me, considering they have J.J. McCarthy. But I want to reiterate, we have no idea if this guy can play. He has not played one snap in a real NFL game, and that's also got to be part of the math.
And we don't need to rush it either, Steve. He's only 21 years old. Let him grow into his body a little bit, right?
Well, and I hate that narrative, and I'm glad you brought that up, Lindsay, because
time.
It's like, well, you gotta get snaps out of him. He's got to play because it's a super affordable deal, and you know he's on his rookie contract and all of that sort of thing. You have a lot of other ingredients that says you need to be competitive and win now, and that's why having a veteran of some sort, backup, credible veteran backup, would be huge. All right, still 6-0, Chargers leading Houston. Houston driving, however, late in quarter number two. It has been a defensive struggle. We mentioned Steelers and Ravens. Lamar Jackson, can he answer the bell in the playoffs? We'll see. MVP talent during the regular year, not so much in the playoffs. Ravens favorite at home by 9, and that once again on Amazon Prime. Tomorrow, early game, Broncos-Bills. I don't want Sean Payton in Denver to win, but it wouldn't surprise me. They could pull the upset for sure.
I'd hate my life. I would hate that.
Oh, I know. He's
the worst. We all know how I feel about Sean Payton and just men and visors.
Yeah, I think you and I have pointed that out. I think we're on the same page. Packers-Eagles. I think Philly rolls in that game. I'm not a Packer hater like so many. And then Sunday night, Commanders-Bucks. I like the Commanders to get it done in that one. Vikes-Rams, we'll talk more about that before we say goodbye. All the news, all the weather coming up at 5. Kevin Lynch will join us to talk Timberwolves here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.